you, Robert. And Carla, it's my understanding the first four people on communications would like to come up together.
I can read those four, yes. Item 869, a request of Leslie Cochran to address council regarding Zenith's transport of tar sands into Portland. 870, request of Lori King to address council regarding Zenith's transport of tar sands into Portland. Lori is ill and Elijah has requested to speak for her. Request of Elijah Cetus to address council regarding fossil fuel infrastructure. He has given his spot to Dr. Theodora Sankas. And 872, request of Deneen O'Rourke to address council regarding the findings of 3.5 months of talking to Portlanders about the threats of Zenith crude oil in Portland. If you want to come on up.
Good morning. If you could just restate your name for the record, please.
How is this?
That's perfect. That good? Thank you. You bet. Thank you.
So, hi, my name is Leslie Cochin. I'm here today on behalf of Climate Jobs, a project of Portland Jobs with Justice. Climate Jobs urges the City of Portland to fully integrate the needs of workers into its climate change planning and implementation process. We have three recommendations. First, the city's climate action plan and climate emergency resolution should acknowledge workers who are on the front line of climate change. Though these workers include those who are exposed to dangerous air emissions and spills due to their work in fossil fuel or fossil fuel dependent industries. They include petrochemical workers, diesel equipment operators, and asphalt paving workers, among others. And they include those workers who are adversely affected by hotter weather and extreme weather events. For instance, construction workers, letter carriers, firefighters, and responders to floodwaters that may contain hazardous materials and pathogens. Second recommendation. The action plan and emergency resolution should acknowledge frontline workers who are in need of a just transition. We laud the city for its support of a Green New Deal with a just transition for workers in its emergency resolution section M. However, elsewhere in these documents, workers are not included as members of the just transition community. This omission of workers is ironic, as the term just transition comes from the labor movement. In 1993, oil, chemical, and atomic workers union leader Tony Mazzocchi coined the expression Superfund for workers. This was based on his understanding that workers should not be abandoned as jobs are lost during the transition away from unhealthy and dangerous industries. In 1997, the Oil, Chemical, and Atomic Workers Union endorsed the term just transition in lieu of Superfund for workers. Third recommendation, the City of Portland should bring labor unions to the table to develop plans and strategies that support frontline workers. Labor has a role to play in the creation of a stronger and more inclusive climate plan and emergency resolution. Labor has the expertise necessary to develop robust health and safety strategies for those workers who face dangerous exposures and extreme weather. The city should commit to working on such a strategy. Labor has the knowledge to assist the city with its role in a just transition for workers as part of the Green New Deal. The city's support for implementation of the Portland Clean Energy Fund is but one example of how cities can support meaningful change that will benefit all frontline groups and should serve as a positive starting point for future efforts. Thank you for considering our comments.
Thank you, and those are excellent comments. I appreciate it.
Excuse me, Mayor.
Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you so much for those comments. I just want to correct one thing you said. It wasn't a city that did the Portland Clean Energy Fund. It was the people of the City of Portland.
No, I just wanted to thank the city for supporting that effort, though, in the form of Portland, City of Portland staff in particular, and the process that's going on now. But thank you. Yes, I know a lot of frontline organizations led that effort.
Great, thank you. And could I get a copy of your written comments, either by email or if you happen to have an extra set today?
Yes, I can leave a...
If you wouldn't mind leaving it with Carla, then we can all get a copy.
I will do
that.
That'd
be great. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Good morning. Welcome.
Hi. Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. I'm Dr. Theodora Tsongas. I'm speaking on behalf of Oregon Physicians for Social Responsibility and the Center for Sustainable Economy to call your attention to the health effects of exposure to methyldiphenyl isocyanate, or MDI. Zenith plans to apply for a permit to the City of Portland to build a pipeline to transfer MDI under Front Avenue. MDI is a member of the family of hazardous chemical isocyanates. Most famous of these is methyl isocyanate gas, the material released in Bhopal, India in 1984, which killed 3,800 people and harmed many thousands more. Concern raised by that devastating incident about lack of community preparedness, communication, and knowledge in preparation for industrial accidents resulted in the passing of the Federal Emergency Planning and Community Right to Know Act, also known as SARA Title III. This law is designed to help local communities protect public health, safety, and the environment from chemical hazards. MDI is a diisocyanate. Diisocyanates are highly reactive compounds used in the production of polyurethane foams, elastomers, paints, and adhesives. They are skin and lung sensitizers and are one of the most important causes of occupational asthma worldwide. MDI binds to DNA and has been shown to induce gene mutations and chromosomal damage. A metabolite of MDI, methylene dianilin, has been found in MDI-exposed humans and is a carcinogen. Exposure can occur by inhalation and also by absorption through the skin. Sensitization may result from a single high exposure or intermittent low exposures. People who become sensitized to MDI may experience life-threatening asthma attacks when subsequently exposed to even extremely low levels of isocyanates. Do-it-yourselfers without appropriate personal protection are also at risk from these products. We must also consider possible differential effects on the health of infants, children, and other sensitive populations who might be at greater risk of exposure or be more sensitive to toxins than healthy adults. In view of these health concerns, it's incumbent upon the city to give careful consideration before approving a permit that would allow Zenith to build a pipeline for MDI. There would always be the risk of accidental or intentional releases of MDI during storage or transport of materials to or from the Zenith facility in Portland. We do not want to run the risk of becoming the next Bhopal. The city must consider requiring companies engaged in moving toxic or flammable materials through the city to report to city officials the exact amounts and type of materials that are being moved prior to moving them. This minimal level of public disclosure is necessary to save lives, and it should be required here in Portland. Thank you for your consideration of our concerns.
Thank you, Dr. Tsongas. We appreciate it. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Ella Schreiner. I'm 17 years old, a senior at Grant High School, and a founding member of the Portland Youth Climate Council.
And good morning. My name is Deneen O'Rourke. I'm 24 years old. I'm an organizer with 350 PDX and the Sunrise Movement.
4 years ago, we were both inspired when Portland enacted resolutions opposing fossil fuel infrastructure and oil trains, the first of their kind in the nation. We felt real hope. I was right here when that happened, testifying in support of these resolutions to the City Council. And when it passed unanimously, I felt true pride for my city.
But now, Mayor and Commissioners, we wonder what that all meant. We now have a Houston-based company importing tar sands oil mined destructively on native territory known to many as Alberta, Canada, and coming into our city on bomb trains that could explode at any moment. We know you all know these threats, and many of you are working hard to try to stop this company from doing business in our city. We thank you for your efforts so far, but we need more.
I want to take a moment to congratulate you, Mayor Wheeler, on being selected as a speaker at the C40 Mayor Summit in Copenhagen next month. This is a great honor. However, I do not believe that any city or mayor can be described as a climate leader if the most polluting form of energy on the entire planet is still allowed to be imported by train and stored for export within our own city. It's that simple. The city of Portland is committing a crime by allowing Zenith to operate in our city for this long. This is nothing to receive accolades about.
We need you to take risks that seem unimaginable for a city government to do. This is what these times demand of us. We need you to accept that you could be sued by this company and take that risk anyway. Is the threat of thousands of Portlanders being vaporized by an oil train derailment greater than the threat of a lawsuit? What are our lives and our futures worth?
So in 2 days, we'll be back, but with thousands more behind us, adults and students, people of all ages going on strike from our day-to-day lives to demand bold, creative, courageous action to stop this crisis. That is what I've seen this council do before, 4 years ago, and that's what I need to see you all do again now.
Our community is standing behind us in this room right now and across this region, echoing the call to stop Zenith now. We today are presenting to you 6,436 names and also 500 more just mailed to us this morning, all gathered by community members across the region who for months had face-to-face conversations with thousands upon thousands of people, educating them about this issue and the city's responsibility to stop it.
Are you looking for a way to stand in solidarity with us on Friday while we're striking? We, along with all 6,936 of these people here, urge you to deny any upcoming permits that Zenith applies for and issue an immediate stop work order on Zenith's operations.
We'll see you here in 2 days.
Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Hardesty.
I just wanted to thank you so much. I am so proud that we have young people who are leading in our climate crisis. And I appreciate you being here. I appreciate your knowledge about the need for us to do something bold. We absolutely agree. We need to do something bold, but we also have to do things that are legal, right? And of course, I just want you to know that we are looking into every opportunity that we have to make Oregon the most unattractive place for companies like Zenith to operate in. Right? So thank you for being here. Just know we're on it. Even though you're not seeing it or hearing it, know that we are working on this. Okay? Thank you.
Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you. And I remember that day 4 years ago, too. And we knew that we were facing an uphill battle because we don't regulate the railroads. And with the federal government in the state it is, we not only want to do something legal because we're not afraid of getting sued. We've been sued on multiple, get sued all the time. In fact, sometimes we weren't on the not expanding fossil fuel infrastructure. We need to do things that are actually going to be effective. And so we can't stop the trains from coming in. I encourage you to continue doing what you're doing and raising the visibility, raising more people to speak out about this, because there's a great power in public shaming and public outrage, as well as in government actions that, as from our end, we're doing what we can. So thank you for the 6,000 signatures, for making people aware of this. We are in a climate emergency, and I appreciate that you are doing your part, and we will do ours.
A couple of quick points. I wasn't going to talk on communications today, I promise. But this is a really important issue. It's an important week, and I appreciate our young people being here. I appreciate our experienced, dedicated people who've been fighting this battle for many, many years being here as well. Number one, with regard to the climate emergency declaration, we were actually going to pass that today. That was the original plan. We wanted it to coincide with this global movement. But an interesting thing happened is people saw the emergency declaration. They said, wait a minute, we want to participate. And so we've seen a broader and broader array of community groups, organizations, leaders, community members, and others wanting to participate in this and provide specific action steps along the lines of the kind that you proposed around labor, which by the way, I'm receiving very well. I think those are really good ideas. So what we decided we would slow it down a bit. It wouldn't be ready this week. We'll take a little more time. We're going to include more community organizations, and that includes a lot of people who've historically not have the opportunity to participate in the development of these kinds of declarations, and there's a real hunger for them to be more specific and action-oriented. So we decided it was worth it to slow it down to include more people and, frankly, generate more enthusiasm in the community for the work we're trying to do. You also raised the question of what happened after my colleagues passed the 2016 ordinance limiting the expansion of fossil fuel. What happened was key components of it were remanded by the courts back to City Hall. I'm pleased to say our legal counsel, including Robert sitting over there in the box, have been working very hard on it, and in the very near future, we will be bringing back a new ordinance that we believe addresses the legal questions for which it was remanded back to City Hall. So we have not forgotten about it. We haven't given up on it, and I am bringing it back, and I wanted you to know that. We appreciate you being here. There's a lot of people here in the audience who are also here supporting your comments, and I thank you for your leadership. I thank you for the action you're engaged in on Friday. I'm sorry I personally will not be here, but you have my support, and I'm really proud and appreciative of what you're doing to raise awareness for these important issues. One more thing, and then I will stop, colleagues. I had the privilege of meeting with, I think it was about 45 students late last week. They were predominantly from Lincoln High School, but there was also a contingent of young people who had come from Germany. And what they all had in common was they were taking courses on environmental justice, and they wanted to come to me and express their opinions and their thoughts with regard to the climate situation, the climate emergency, Zenith, the work that we're doing around fossil fuel ordinances. And what they underscored to a person, regardless of what their specific objectives were, it was the sense of urgency, the sense of immediacy that you've expressed here, the need to think bolder, the need to be willing to take risks. I want you to know I heard that message. I hear it today, I heard it then, and I understand that message. And I appreciate you bringing it here today to underscore it again. Thank you all. Appreciate it very much. And I'm going to keep the signatures. They're nicely boxed, by the way. I appreciate that. And we'll put them in a prominent location up in the mayor's office for all to see. Thank you. Carla.